And so Jesus tells us to stay awake, and we are awake. And Paul says, it is time to rouse yourself from sleep in that second reading. You know the time. It is now the hour for you to wake from sleep. We say, we're not asleep. We're awake. But we can be distracted. I would say, you know, the word to describe our generation today is it's indifferent. Indifferent. So many people, they just, I don't care about God. I just don't care about religion. I don't care. I care about myself. That's indifferent. I'm indifferent. So the second word that comes to mind is ungrateful. We are the ungrateful ones. We're not grateful to God because we're indifferent. But that doesn't describe you and I. That's why we're here, because we are grateful and we're not indifferent. We do care, but we can be distracted. And so that's where I sense the Lord saying when Paul says, awake from sleep, don't let yourself get distracted. And Jesus says the people were distracted at the time of Noah, eating and drinking and marrying. Same way today. Same way today. We're just focused on the things of this earth, and I just want to have a good life. And I'm distracted from the Lord by many different things. Don't let yourself get distracted. There was a priest in a hospital, and he had been praying the breviary. Those are prayers that the priests and the deacons, the sisters, and you guys pray it too. It's all lay people can pray it. And maybe after the New Year's, I'll teach you how to pray the breviary. Most of us do it now on our cell phones. But in the past, we used books. We actually had the breviary, the book. And this priest had, he'd gotten sick and he was in the hospital. So he was in his 50s or so. And he said, could you please bring me my breviary? Bring me my breviary. And his family said, why? You don't need to pray the, Father, you don't need to pray the breviary. You know, you're in the hospital. Focus on your illness. He said, hey, it took me 20 years to get into this rut. Don't you tempt me to get out of it now. He knew the importance of good habits, right? And a lot of times when you have a good habit like exercise, it's not good when you get sick. You don't like it because it interrupts your exercise. And you say, oh man, now I'm going to get out of the habit of exercise and it's going to be hard to get back in. And so he knew, don't get out of my, this is a good rut I've got, this daily prayer. I don't want to get out of it now. And so a lot of about Advent is putting in good things, is putting in good things and removing the bad things. Because Christ is coming. In fact, he's already here. The church always talks about the three comings of Christ. And so you have the first coming at his birth. We're getting ready to remember that, Christmas. And then, of course, you have the second coming, which is coming whenever he returns. But then you have the in-between coming, which is the Kairos coming. It's the Kairos time. Kairos is Greek for God's time. God's time. God's time is right now. Right here and right now. Did you know that God's love is incessant? Incessant means it can't stop. What that means is just like the sun cannot stop being the sun, unless you live in Chico and you're under the fog. But even so, you can imagine all your friends up here enjoying the sun in paradise. The sun is the sun, and you can't stop it. It just keeps shining. That's God's love. God's grace is like that. You can't stop it. Every single person has grace around them. You and I are living in the divine will at every moment. Some people are totally open to it, love God with their whole mind, whole heart and soul, and other people are totally closed to it, don't want to have anything to do with that. But they can't escape it, just like you can't escape the sun. And so the in-between coming is right now. Jesus says, my grace is here right now. Holy Communion is right now. My sacraments are the Word. It's right here. It's right now. I'm here. You just have to open up. And so that's why Paul says, get rid of those things. Don't spend your time in drunkenness and orgies and those things that the people of the world spend their times on. Get rid of those things and put in the good things that will open you up to Christ. So we prepare. Advent means the coming. And just like we're going to be preparing for all of our events going on, coming up in Advent and Christmas, and you'll be preparing for visitors coming to your houses, we prepare for Christ's coming. We can fast. We can fast. The best fast is on bread and water, but you can fast on anything. I want to eat more for health than pleasure. Way too often I eat for pleasure, not health. You know, there's a reason they call those little Snicker bars bite size. You know, too much of that. Just ask Marissa. I can't stay away from, don't bring chocolates. I'll eat them. I can't say no. And that's eating for pleasure. I want to be more disciplined this Advent with my eating. To eat for health, because that will make me more disciplined. It will make me more empty for the Lord. And it'll make me healthier too. Social media. This is another thing for me personally. I'm going to stay away from social media. So I'll only use my cell phone and the internet to do my work, to get the information I need to prepare my homilies and things like that. But surfing around and going into rabbit holes, you know, about jumping bunnies on trampolines and stuff like that, I want to stay away from that, because it kind of, I always feel like I'm wasting my time. That happens a lot with television, too. If you watch a lot of TV, after you watch an hour or two or three of television, you're going to feel very lethargic, very lazy, and very slow. That's an indication that Jesus would say, see how you're not sharp, mind, body, and spirit? You're dull. And that's kind of what happens when we just kind of veg out in front of YouTube videos and things. So that's one thing I want to do. I want to be more disciplined with my social media. And then I won't waste as much time. So I will have more time to put good things into my life. And then we can all move away from vanity, away from our self-centeredness. Yeah, you can have physical vanity. Some of us struggle with that. But we all have our struggles. But that vanity is that self-centeredness. I want to get away from it's all about me and what I want and what I think. I want to stop that. I want to be other-centered this Advent. I want to let go of control. Blue candles, okay, they're blue candles. It is what it is. Fiat, let it be. Okay, Lord, I accept. I accept. And so to just accept what the Lord allows to happen and to remain undisturbed on the inside. And when disturbances come on the inside, the anxieties and the worries, you hand them over to the Lord very quickly. Because undisturbed is the commandment. Lord, you call me to be undisturbed. And then unhealthy habits. Unhealthy habits, buying things I don't need, retail therapy, going out and buying, consuming things, buying something. That's kind of like food, you know, just filling myself with something to make myself feel better. Letting go of gossiping. This is horrible. The way we speak about each other. No more. No more. No more complaining. No more criticizing. No more gossiping. I've got plenty of problems. I'll fix myself. You can fix yourself, okay? Too many times I'm not interested in fixing myself, but I'll tell you what's wrong with you. That's the problem. I got enough problems myself. I'll fix myself. And you guys fix yourself, and then we'll all be the body of Christ. It'll work out. So letting go of those unhealthy, bad habits. Why do I always have to be right? Why do I have that habit? I always have to be right. Why am I always correcting people? Why do I feel like I have to be the center of attention? Why am I always butting in when other people are talking? Why don't I listen? How come I don't listen very well? And so to look at those habits that we have and say, Lord, I'd like to let go of those. And so that's part of fasting, letting go of things. And then adding things. So we have Advent wreath. In the back, you're welcome to buy an Advent wreath. You could buy an Advent wreath and the four candles. Put that on your table. $10 for the Advent wreath, $5 for the candles. And then you could go on, you could Google and look for daily Advent reflections. And you could light a candle each day like that. That you can add that to your Advent. We have our Saginaw books in the back. So please take one of those. Those are free and those are for you, the Saginaw books. And kids, we have an orange book. Tell the kids when they get back. We have the little book, the little kids book on the Eucharist. So kids, you take one of those for your Advent. And then the adults, there's English and Spanish, daily reflections for Advent. Also, I just looked around for books that I have, because priests get sent a lot of books, and Dynamic Catholic sends a lot of good stuff out. This is 33 Days to Eucharistic Glory for Kids. And then I put several other books just back on a table there. I just put my sticker on there, my name. So I would like them back, because then I can give them to other people. But feel free to take one of those if you want to do something like that during Advent. Those are free as well. So those are ideas. Has anybody done Father Mike Schmidt's The Bible in a Year? Have you done that? Look, yeah. Isn't that wonderful? So you could say, I want to start that. It's the new year for us, for the liturgical year. So you could do that. And doesn't he have the catechism in a year also? Has anybody done that? So there you go. So there's maybe your next 2 years. You could do the Bible, or you could do the catechism, and then the next year. And what does it take, about 15 minutes a day? Okay, so the catechism is about 15 minutes a day, and the Bible is 30 minutes a day. Okay. But now that you're not watching bunnies jumping on trampolines, you got time. You got time. Bishop Barron also, The Word on Fire, The Word on Fire. Bishop Barron does. He has the readings for each day. You could read the readings, and then he has a reflection on the gospel. So that could be something you could do each day as well. You could keep in touch with what's going on with Pope Leo in the Vatican. Zenit, Z-E-N-I-T. By the way, if you have your bulletin, you know it says homily notes in there. There's a little section, so you can write this stuff down. So Zenit, Z-E-N-I-T, that's one of the websites I go to just to check on what the Pope's been doing. This last week he's gone to Turkey. Did you know that? And absolutely beautiful. He came out with an apostolic letter. I encourage you to read it, because you can actually read it in 15 or 20 minutes. It's nice. It's not that long. It explains where we got the Nicene Creed that we say every Sunday. That came from the year 325. It was the first ecumenical council of the church, where all the bishops were invited to Nicaea in Turkey. And that's where they hashed out, who is Jesus? We believe in, they are the same substance. That's where we got the Nicene Creed from. And he created an apostolic letter before he went to Turkey called Unitate Fidei. Unitate Fidei. And it's on the unity of faith and where we got that beautiful creed that we all believe in as Christians. And he went to Nicaea this last week and prayed with the patriarch, the Orthodox patriarch there, hopefully to bring our two churches back together. So you could go to Zenit, you could read the Pope's apostolic letter. Of course, come to church and do adoration. We're so blessed to have the church open. A lot of churches have to be closed, locked up. But we're open, so you can come make visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Because Christmas is here 24/7. Jesus is here incarnate in the tabernacle, and then actively he becomes incarnate at every Mass. Go to confession every month. The rosary, of course. Do the rosary. There's so many beautiful things that we can do. So we can fast from things, we can add things, and then we can do things. You can do acts of random kindness to people. For Jesus Christ. Lord, this is for you. I'm going to do this for you. The bears got into my neighbor's garbage and pulled their garbage all out. I'm going to clean it up for them. And then I'm going to buy them a bungee cord for Christmas so that they can... At random acts of kindness, things that you can do for the Lord. Our family, one Christmas, we decided, why don't we buy all our gifts at thrift stores? You have to buy all your gifts at thrift stores. So you save a lot of money. And it was fun to see what we could buy for each other. And then another Christmas, we said, why don't we just buy one gift for a person, a big gift for a person, and then that person picks a charity, and you will give money to that charity as well. So you're going to spend $50 to $100 on a gift, and then you're going to give $50 or $100 to their charity. So we did that 1 year. So there are creative ways that you can celebrate Christmas. So here we are, lighting the Advent wreath. And it's a ritual. We are a ritualistic church. There's a danger to that, and there's a beauty to that. The danger is that the ritual is supposed to nurture the relationship. But if you don't want the, if you're indifferent, if you're distracted, if you're ungrateful, then the rituals become empty. They become boring and they become ugly to God. This doesn't mean what it's supposed to mean. You're just going through motions. So that's the danger of a ritualistic church. Don't ever look at yourself. Am I just going through motions? Or are the motions, are the rituals bringing me more deeply into the relationship? Because if you have the relationship, then the rituals, everything we do as Catholics, it's the meaning. It just, your relationship becomes even more beautiful and more profound. So it's the relationship that the rituals lead us into. It's a lot like a wedding ring, isn't it? If you're in a good, happy marriage and you look at your wedding ring, you can cry for joy. And if you're in a really unhappy marriage and you look at your wedding ring, it can make you cry for sadness. Same thing with rituals. Same thing with rituals. And so this Advent, let's make sure that we, all the rituals that we do, that we cry for joy, and that the angels and our Lord cries for joy over us as well.